Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul makes one of the beautiful, most beautiful declarations in all of Scripture under the inspiration of the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that should be a very special statement. It should be a statement of motivation for great joy and assurance in the life of the Christian, because essentially what he's saying is there is no possibility for the Christian that you will ever face the condemning hand and judgment of God. Now, if you remember what we contrasted that with and what we were discussing yesterday and last week, you remember in Romans 7, verse 14, everything there turned to the present tense and what the Apostle Paul was facing in his life. Remember, the heart had been open to the true demands of this holy God and this just God, and it created this huge burden in his life when he understood just what God required for a sinner to come into his presence. He says, here's what I'm finding. I'm doing all these things that I hate. I have this desire to honor the law of God, but I don't practice what I want to do. And then came two very depressing statements. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Verse 23, I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. He goes on to say there. And then he cries out, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, we said yesterday, that's not building a lot of self-esteem, is it? You know the whole Christian self-esteem movement. What do they say? Just think good thoughts about yourself. That's how you're going to really succeed in this life. You don't want all that negative stuff. And I've seen this with Christian counselors. This is what they are constantly giving worksheets to their patients to have them think, I am so good. I am so righteous. I am so worthy. But that's not what the Apostle Paul presented. It's a lie. Paul showed us the reality. I'm miserable and wretched. Nothing good dwells within me. I often want to say that to counselors. Look, the first thing that person needs is not to think good about themselves. They need to be brought low and then see how beautiful Christ is, but they never will until they're brought low. So what's the answer? Paul, is what you're doing here too defeatist, isn't it? You need to get away from all this sin stuff and get to the victorious life that will just sort of help you along your way to be successful in your business after a hard week. Don't we need that? But Paul, my friends, was being honest about the Christian life and that often the battles we face with sin can become very discouraging. It can become very distressing, very painful. Goodness, it's called a warfare for a reason. And warfare is painful at times. But look at the Bible. Anyone who tells you that he is without sin, remember 1 John, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, if a Christian then is with sin, that means he's struggling against sin, and therefore the battle is at times very fierce. No Christian can say that he's not seeing and fighting his sin. But what they find is actually they're constantly saying with the apostle, oh, wretched man that I am. The battle is real. You may be going through that struggle. You've begun to see some things in your life that you never saw them before, the way that God has defined them, because finally you've listened to the word, you've opened the word, it's exposed your heart, and you know it's a real struggle. But there's something you need to understand. As real as that struggle is, and as painful and as heart-wrenching, Paul says you need to know this, and this is so beautiful. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see where victory comes in the struggle? You see what often happens in our lives? what happens is this. At this point, I'm addressing those who are really in the fight, those who are really in the struggle. Some Christians out there today won't like this message because they're not in the fight. They don't want to see the fight. They ignore the fight. They just want to be told how good they are. But then there are those who are really in the struggle. Those who don't care, of course, none of this of what I'm saying this week will really make that much impact upon you. You still have to fall on your knees and come to this realization of, oh, wretched man that I am. But to those who see their misery, you know what begins to happen? You have this deep longing in your heart to know God more, to love Him, to grow in holiness. And that incessant desire is there, implanted within you. And yet the reality is that you're always seeming to be held back because of the warfare, warring in your members, doing the things that you do not wish. Well, what happens? You know this. You've been making some progress in the Christian life, and that deep desire to love Christ and to follow Christ burns within you, and then you stumble in your sin. All of a sudden, terrible guilt overwhelms you. You know what the devil does. The devil comes right alongside you, and you know what he says? He says, look, if the Spirit were living in you, how in the world could you do that? If you are truly saved, there's no way a child of God could do such a thing. Further, there's no way a holy God in heaven could ever love you that much. And the devil loves that. He loves for people to run in their sin and wants them to run as deep in their sin as they can. And then once they hear the news about Christ, he comes along inside and says, look at your past. Look what you've done. Now, it's at this point, a person is faced with a choice, isn't he? Here's a key difference. The one in whom the new birth, let's say, has not occurred, his heart has not been changed, even though he may profess to be a Christian. The one who remains under the law, what does he do? He wallows in the sin. And you know what he says? It just doesn't matter. I'm condemned. I'm just going to keep on doing it. That mindset and that mentality is there. It doesn't matter anyway. So I'll forget it. What's the point in trying? Now, I contrast that to say he would never say that in the regular working world. He would get up and give 110%. But when it comes to his spirituality, he just says, oh, doesn't matter. And this is exactly what happens. In some churches, the law, now listen to this, it's so important, and you need to ask yourself if this is true. The law is so heavily preached, out of balance, so that the gospel is eclipsed. When that happens, what happens in the people? When the law is preached so heavily that you don't hear the gospel, what happens in the hearts of the people? Well, we've already considered what the law does. It shows sin, it arouses sin, and it kills. It kills you. So think about this. Let me give you an example. A pastor looks at his people, and he thinks his people are making little advance in holiness. Great frustration sets in on his part, and so his natural tendency is to think, you know what, that's it. I'm going to get these people straightened up and serving, because you know what, they're not doing anything. And so what does he do? He pounds home the law, holiness. And so that Sunday, he levels the congregation with law, the whole sermon. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And they walk away with incredible guilt, don't they? Now, at times, such conviction for laziness on the part of the Christian is very needed. And the law should be striking and convicting. And every pastor has to do that. But two things happen. Now, listen to this. If the gospel is not preached, even with the Christian, so if there's no balance of law and gospel, what motivation in the part, and I'm speaking only of the Christian at this point, if the gospel is not balanced with the law, what motivation does he have to serve? The real danger here is that the pastor probably has never considered the possibility that a lack of service may indicate that the heart has yet to be changed. If all these poor beaten down sinners hear his law, what happens? Well, the law, what's it doing? It's showing sin, it's arousing sin, and it's killing them. So what does it produce in the people? It produces a people with no joy, no understanding of the gospel. And then worst, on the weekdays, lo and behold, there really isn't much difference from them and their children than the world. Their children, ironically, are of the worst sort, maintaining the worst witness. Why? They're left under the law because many of them have yet to be converted. Now, all of that is radically different than the response of the Christian. The one who's been converted, continues in this warfare against sin, and it's real to him. And the things that he does not want to do, these he keeps on doing. And yet there's something very consistent about his life. When he stumbles, which is very frequent, because all of us stumble in many things, he gets up and he goes forward. But to whom does he go to? Does he go to the law or to the gospel? And that's why, my friends, and every pastor has to be preaching Christ in every sermon. He goes to Christ. Oh, wretched man that I am, the law has crushed him. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then what he hears is there is someone who can rescue you. There is a way out. There is a way for you to be freed from your lack of service or your sin and all these things you're not doing. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gospel has been his balm. Look, it's in the midst of this intense struggle when we sin, Paul doesn't want us to lose sight of the truth of the matter, because sin always causes doubt. And so that is why he juxtaposes, that he means he sets aside this truth to always remember on your pilgrimage, dear Christians. This is what the Christian must take hold with him every single day and believe and live. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can't see this in the Greek, but it's very emphatic. Udain, it reads like these four words like this. Now, no, therefore, now condemnation. It's very emphatic. He's saying your struggle with your sin does not call into question the great reality of what is already true of you in Christ. That's been his key point. The whole first seven chapters of Romans, justification by faith alone. God has imputed to you the righteousness of Christ to your account as if you had never sinned or been a sinner, all by grace and freely. Justification is already true. And so as you struggle in your sin and you hear God's law, that warfare is very real. But the reality is in Christ, you're free. And you have to live that, Christians. Live knowing that Christ has freed you from the curse of the law, having become the curse for you. And again, I leave you with the words, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.